Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Transport yourself back in time and explore the fascinating and harrowing story of the Titanic's maiden voyage. Now open at Cosi. Don't miss Titanic, the Artifact Exhibition. This epic exhibit features over 200 authentic artifacts recovered from the ocean floor. Discover poignant passenger and crew accounts and majestic recreated interiors, including the iconic Titanic Grand Staircase. Tickets for Titanic, the Artifact Exhibition are on sale now. Book your voyage at Cosi.org.
Oi, Alex, if I built...
Jay here for Stretford Paddock. This is the Paddock Podcast.
Hey, if I built kennels, you'd think I like dogs.
Right, yeah, good point. And we're just talking about pets and dogs and that before you joined us. And Steve's carrying on his conversation. How are you, bro?
Not talking about the Neverland Ranch.
No, we're not. I'm glad we've sideswiped that one nicely. How are you, all right?
Sensational.
Yeah, sensational.
In circumstances.
What are the circumstances, Stephen?
Circumstances at United are shit. Yeah. Look, it's not new. It's kind of been a thing for nearly a decade, Jake.
Nearly a decade.
I know. Do you know what it is as well, right?
What, at what point do we get to revel in it?
I can't. Is there a point when you get to revel in it? Is there a point where you go, did your old man ever revel during those 26 years?
I think he fondly remembers the 70s when we were shit. I think there's a lot of red.
Yeah, my dad's the same. My dad, like, going away, he's in the second division.
Morecambe.
Yeah, it was mint. Do you know what I mean?
Where we played Luton.
Yeah, come on, yeah. He was doing the line today. Oh, it's someone out of the crowd. Seen that one? You've not seen it?
No.
Right. I think it's, I might be wrong. Get involved in the comments. I think it might have been our first away when we were relegated, like Leighton Orient or someone.
74 or something.
Yeah, someone 74, good knowledge.
Can we take about 14,000?
Yeah, we just invaded cities and towns. And
I think that's what they liked.
Yeah.
A little bit of burglary, a little bit of
but
destruction.
We put money back into the economy. With
window fitters and that.
The amount of police we employed to nick us. Yeah, window fitters. But there's one, right, I think it's Leighton Orient. Get involved in the chat if you know what I'm on about, right? The linesman gets
not
injured.
Not your old.
Yeah. The linesman gets injured, right?
And like, has anyone got their linesman card?
Yeah. And there's a guy, right? Honestly, and he's wearing like flares and like proper looks Mr. 70s and his massive collar. And he gets out of the crowd and does the line. He literally is the linesman for the last sort of 20 minutes as well. It's not like it's just like they're about to blow the whistle. So anyone who knows what I'm on about, get involved in the chat, let us know. Because I didn't imagine it. This actually, I've seen this on some like channel. It's just like crazy. That's a second division game. That's like the second tier of English football.
Championship game.
Yeah. And they're going, can you do the line? But you've got to do it honestly. You're a United fan. You can't be lying and giving offsides to the opposition.
Take that scarf off your arm.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Have you ever done a line?
Take your Doc's Red Army rosette off.
But take that lad out of a headlock. Yeah. Stop punching him and come over in.
Put the darts back in your pocket.
Yeah.
Right, happy days. How's that golf ball got nails in it?
Did he say that's my dad's mate now who got a dart in his eye? Was Peter it? Brooks. I posted a video on my Twitter. I'm trying to get out of...
Take it in or leave it out. Take it.
Yeah.
Take it out or leave it in.
He's the loveliest guy in the world as well. And I met him at... we did some shoot with Wes Brown, me and Macca, sorry.
Imagine that being your claim to fame.
Yeah. And he's got like the picture of him with the dart proper in his... And I remember my dad telling me about
it. He kept the dart?
I don't know. I need to ask him, man. I'll find out with my dad. My dad's still in touch with him.
There used to be a little dart shop in Dresden called H. Perigo, I think it was called.
Really? Yeah.
You don't see dart shops, do you? It's so niche.
Yeah.
How did he sustain? And do you know what as well? Because this is like 70s,
well niche.
80s, and probably into the 90s, right?
Yeah.
This is how you know the world's just gone mental. There was a guy that probably sustained, because it's probably the 70s, 9 kids, right? And a wife.
Yeah.
And a Ford Cortina.
Yeah.
And standard. A 3-bed semi in Drawsden.
Yeah.
Running a fucking dart shop. Selling the odd flights and free arrows. And the occasional board to a pub. How the fuck has he done that?
How's he doing that, like, with all those things he's got as well?
Probably paid cash for his house.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But that's when houses were about 30 quid, though, innit? But yeah. So he got a dart. Was it the Scousers won it at the Liverpool game?
Right on the inside of his nose, wasn't it? Just missed his eye.
Yeah, it was. I don't know. It was in his, I think it was actually in his eye, but he didn't lose the sight in his eye amazingly. It is crazy. And you know full well that Scouse will have run across the pitch and asked for it back. Come on, mate. I need that dart. Can't keep it. I've only got one.
Yeah, mate, it's his Rodney darts. Gives it back, mate.
Those were the days. Good old days when you could throw darts across the pitch at opposition fans. Can't get away with anything nowadays, can you? If you do that now, you get a ban.
What to say?
It's ridiculous. Game's gone. Oh, we've got a super chat. George Murphy says, not United, but you may remember Jimmy Hill ran the line once in a game, which I'm pretty sure was a top flight game, and in similar circumstances as that United game. So there you go, you see. They just used to... this Ross Murphy's on the bill already. He says, Stephen Alison, best impressionist.
No.
You do
a couple in the locker.
You've got who's your go-to impressions that you do?
Oh, I do a good Scouse one.
Yeah, you do Scouse. Who's the other one? You do a specific...
I've got a terrifying Northern Irish one.
Is it all right?
It's probably not PC.
Right, okay. Who's the guy you always do? Is it John Fiore?
Yeah.
Yeah, go on.
No.
All right, fair enough. Ross Murphy says, I'm on coffee, Jay. I want to get you on this. I hate giving him attention because he's a whopper, right? But you are Mr. David Beckham. And you are banned from him as well, so you probably don't know.
I've seen several people quote tweeting him, so I've gone, what the fuck's he said now?
And he blocked you, didn't he?
Yeah.
Well, why did he block you?
Because I woke up every morning and tweeted, good morning, everyone. Hope you have a great day. Apart from Piers Morgan, who's a see you next Tuesday for about a month, and then he blocked me.
He blocked you for that?
Yeah.
Snowflake. you've seen the Beckham slander.
Yeah. So yeah, he put a picture on yesterday, didn't he? I worked my way through the timeline. He put a picture on of Odell Beckham Jr. saying at least one Beckham Jr. knows how to play football. So quite rightly, people with brains called him out on it.
Yep.
And he tried to defend it, saying he was just some sort of superstar. Saw your comment. The way he's acting on, it's like he'd married a black woman.
Yeah, you think Beckham had married a black woman the way Piers Morgan's laying into him here? What's going on?
He's just a fucking proper double-odd individual, isn't he? Yeah. If you don't think David Beckham was a... not just a good footballer, because he was so many levels better than good footballer. He was a genuine world-class player. And in my opinion, and you're entitled to disagree, but you're wrong, he was the best player in the world for a period of time in 1998, 1999, right?
You've been very consistent. You think he should have won the Ballon d'Or in 99.
He absolutely should have done. The vote was split amongst United players. Yeah. Keane got votes, and rightly should. Dwight York got votes. Yep Stam got votes.
Yeah. Was it Rivaldo?
Rivaldo won it on the back of a Copa America thing. they didn't get out of the group. And you got to go and watch. And people will say he scored against United. Yeah, he did. Watch the 90-minute performances. And you tell me with an honest heart that David Beckham didn't dominate Manchester United versus Barcelona both legs.
Do you know what was weird about that season as well?
I only watch it like three times a week. I'm not weirder out.
Is that it? How good he was in Turin against... against Juve as well.
No headlines.
Like, because Keane was so sort of commanding and got the book in.
Is it York calling Keane scored?
Yeah. And it was like, yeah. And it's like, everyone goes on about, like, rightly so, because it's just such an amazing captain's performance by Roy Keane. But watch Beckham in that game. He's unplayable. He's everywhere.
And do you know what? For somebody who wasn't quick, he would have been mint in this system, because his relentless pressing before pressing had been named, closing down, I think it was just called back in the day.
Remember those days?
Get on his, don't let him turn, get on his touch. That was what it was called. And he was top at it.
He was.
Gary Neville had a whole career because of David Beckham in front of him.
It was true. And it's just like this sort of, it's this populist drivel in it. It's like, oh, Beckham, I know it's Piers Morgan, but there's other people I've seen say it. I've even seen United fans question Beckham. And it's
he wanted to be famous. Right, yeah, he did, right? But without the talent, you get Robbie Savage.
It's true. You don't get to play a record number of games for England, win every trophy there is known to man by the age of 26 or whatever it was, 24, if you're not very good at football.
No, he was made captain of England well young.
Yeah.
I think he had 60 caps or something like that as captain.
Yeah.
He had 118 or something.
Something stupid. I think he was like one of the most capped outfield players.
Defining moments, both in an England shirt, positive and negative. But defining moments in a United shirt, like I always say, the way you judge great players is not how they did in friendlies, Pelé. It's not how they did in the Milk Cup.
Right.
It's the bigger the game.
Yeah.
How consistently did they perform in the big games?
Yeah.
Can you remember a bad performance from Beckham in a big game? Because that'll give you just 99 as an example. Every key moment, every big match, Beckham scored, assisted, or created.
Yeah.
Every single big match.
I can't argue with you. He's right.
And he completely worked. Because an underrated aspect of David Beckham's game, as we sort of touched on before, was his work rate.
100%. It annoys me when people act like he's this playboy who didn't put a shift in. Grafted. He's one of the hardest working footballers I've ever seen. Genuinely.
Oh, my God. For the younger generation, think Tevez, but fit.
Yeah. Yeah, and with purpose.
Yeah. And a whip.
Yeah, just a bit. That was him. And he was just amazing. And like you say, you know, him and Gary Neville down that right hand side worked well because he always covered for Gary Neville. He always did that.
Gary Neville never got exposed 1v1.
No.
Because he was never 1v1.
No.
Because Beckham was always that close.
Yeah, it was unreal. And then there's this thing, he was just, like people say, he was just crosses and just free kicks. Well, hang on a minute. For starters, he was the best at both of those things the Premier League's ever seen.
His switches to Giggs.
Yeah.
His switches down the pipe for York or Cole to run onto.
Yeah.
Is he's just the weight of ball. Like, Rio mentions, if you ask Beckham to put you, like, you can ask a good player. I think he used Trent as an example of someone with a good delivery, which he can't deny, right?
Okay, yeah. We'll give him that one.
Trent will put it in a good area for you.
Yeah.
Beckham will say, which side of your forehead do you want it on? And how are you going to jump?
How many goals do you reckon you could get in that 99 team if you played?
With Beckham, yeah. I'm scoring.
I'm scoring. You get at least one, wouldn't you, from a corner?
Mate, I'll score against Mateus Sammer with Beckham sticking it in front.
Just stand there and just say, Bex, just bounce it off us. I'm just going to stand there. I'm not going to move. Just bounce it off my head.
Some of the deliveries, Inter Milan ones stick out for me because it was your carbon 2-0, copy.
Yeah. Just absolute on a sixpence. Couldn't miss. And also we had, you know, good players as well. Don't want to take anything away from like the likes of York. It was good. And Schering as well. But you had such delivery. It was just perfect. It was
you just
attack
an area as a United player. And he'll be like, all right,
do you remember and I don't want to get carried away, so he can still do it now. But even when he came back, right, for that testimonial, the 99 anniversary.
In fact, my dad said it, the best right wing performance this fucking pitch has seen in about 10 years.
That's right. Your dad's such a fox in it. Come on. Tell him he's wrong. But like, you see where he did like that 80 yard pass or whatever.
Yeah, dick out.
Yeah, that's still an 80-yard pass you've got. I mean, no matter who the opposition is, you've still got to get that ball 80 yards to where you want it to go.
By the way, I don't know if I'm speaking out of school here, he's got a documentary in the works.
Really?
Can't wait for that.
Oh, we need to get him on.
Have you seen Rooney's?
Yeah, have you seen it?
Yeah, was you all in your feels for the Fenerbahce game? Because I was.
Yeah.
The rest of it I was a bit meh with, but like that
Fenerbahce game. It was very sort of family orientated, wasn't it? About him and Colleen and everything that he's been through and all
so
that.
More so than I expected.
Yeah, and I thought, okay, I get it, because he's obviously playing to a broader audience, but I don't really care that much. He's a good dad. He's a good, you know, he's him and Colleen have been through all whatever they've been through. They've got through it, fine. But I wanted a bit more about the football side of things. I think it skirted over certain things.
He was pretty honest about the issues where he's just walked in, told you exactly what the Glazers are all about.
Yeah.
And, you know, was like, what are we doing about this then? And you know, I'm happy that honesty was in there.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people gloss over that.
That's
or would
I mean.
Gloss over that. So it was refreshing to see that. But yeah, I think there were stories there not told that should have been told.
And I think they focused a lot on the England injury in 2004 and not enough on the 2010 one. Because I think Wayne Rooney, for me, was two injuries away from being spoken about in the same breaths as you, Ronaldo's and you, Messi's and all that lot.
2004, if he doesn't get injured.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He delivers that Euros for England. He's a national hero forever.
We probably paid double for him.
Yeah, I don't care. You're right, though.
Still would have been a bargain.
Yeah, 100%. And then in 2010, we win the Champions League because of him if he don't get that injury against Bayern Munich. And I think those two injuries just stopped him from being in that same bracket.
I had Tony Strudwick on my podcast and he was talking about they wanted to make a substitution with him and Rafael at half-time at Bayern Munich game, but it went off in the changing room. Don't. It took 15 minutes to calm it down. The buzzer went and he was like, right, everyone back out. And
that's not the only time that's happened, has it? There's other times that's happened.
I believe so.
Yeah. It's mad, that, isn't it? I just think that shouldn't happen, but it does.
But the thing is, man, you're going to have 25 to 30 winners in a changing room.
Yeah.
You ain't got long.
No.
You know, it ain't there.
No.
There's a bit of a corridor, there's a bit of a mooch, someone's going to go for a piss. You've got 25 winners at least in there.
And all, like, angry with themselves, angry with each other. You've got a manager who's angry because you're not getting those results.
That's why he wakes up.
Yeah, he just wakes up fuming. So there's a lot of anger there. And it's like, it's going to go off, innit? Now you're probably getting it and they're going in and they're just sulking. Or not even that. Probably
tweeting.
Just tweeting and just
texting my agent.
Yeah, can you get the drafts ready for this hurts us more than it hurts you. And make sure you get that picture, the one I sent you earlier.
The gaffer just shouted at me, so I don't like it.
I don't want. Can we leak some stories? Is that a thing?
5 o'clock, we're dropping a vibe with five, right? And Rio spoke about how certain players used to react to being getting a bollocking.
Yeah.
He said, like, you could bollock Rooney all day long. He kind of fired him up. Like, he was up for that. He goes, and he was talking about, no one bollocks anybody in training anymore. He doesn't think. Who's holding up the standards? Nobody at this fucking football club, clearly. And he said he saw, I think he said it was Capello. Check it out on 5x5 anyway tonight. He said it was Capello, I think, that give Walcott a bit of a rocket.
Yeah.
And Walcott come and sat next to him and was like, can't believe he just shouted at me. Yeah. He's like, well, I can't.
Can't believe he just shouted at me. Was that because Wenger was a bit more placid, do you think?
Was he? He probably was at Arsenal by that time. So I don't know. But Rio went, and he goes, I knew then he weren't going to do fuck all.
Really? That's really interesting. Now. Is that today? That's out today. What do you make, just quickly, I don't want to give too much air time to it, as they say. I want to move on. But what do you make of all these stories about leaks and all that? Because people who don't know Jack SH1C.
Well, I'm going to tell you, someone who absolutely doesn't know Jack shit named someone and said it's definitely them.
Yeah.
And I hope he's got a fucking good lawyer, mate.
Yeah. You've been having an interesting conversation about that, haven't you? Yeah, I think it's easy to just go, well, I know this. Let it blow up. And then go, well,
it might be.
I don't know. Well, that's what I got told. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on at United that I'm not happy about. We're going to get some of your super chats and your comments in a minute. I saw your video over the weekend, Steve, and you were talking about the game of the weekend, and I'm glad you had a catch-up, because I feel like you're getting to the point where you've been at it for a little while with certain players. I'm at that point now, just had enough of them. You know, it's just like, how many times can we say, give it another week, give it another month, wait till they regain the form? I think you singled out Maguire and Shaw over the weekend. Now, Shaw was someone I was watching on Saturday. You know, you do like your own little player camp at the game, and you go, just watch him for 5 minutes.
What's he doing?
Yeah, what's he
about?
How
many times did you say that to yourself?
I lost count, at least 47. And I was just watching him. I just thought,
that was what my Ashley Young thing came for. I was sitting there going,
yeah, like, you get it in you and you think, I'm just going to focus on him for a bit. Like, what's going on here? What is he doing? And the thing is, like, you know, you mentioned Ashley Young. I'm pretty easy going on a lot of players. I don't criticise them overly or whatever, but I'll call it as I see it. And I watched it on, I just thought, Luke Shaw's just not up for this. I was watching him you know, when they crossed the ball in from the right-hand side, from his side, sauntering over there again, and he just reminded me of the Liverpool game. And I know we're going
about
Liverpool
game. What's your one job as a fullback?
Yeah, just don't let him cross.
Stop the cross.
And he didn't do that. And
I'm sorry, have you played football past the age of 7? Yeah. That's the first thing you get taught. Right. Stop the cross.
And what are we waiting for? Me and you, someone took a clip of a video of me and you a few years ago where we said the jury was out on Luke Shaw. And they're like, look at this. And I think we're still there.
I'd like to retract that statement and say the jury shouldn't have ever been out. He's never been good enough. Yeah. And 6 months in 8 years doesn't fucking sugarcoat it.
We've been there 8 years and we're still waiting for this
consistent.
Like, you know, we had a 6 month spell like you said last season. He had a good Euros. He's come back. He's been atrocious. That's why Alex Telles, he's probably, if he's fit, gets in the team now. And that's amazing to me. You also singled out Maguire. Now, he's almost in Phil Jones levels of ridicule now, Maguire. Everyone's on his case. Is it time for Ralph Radnick to do what he can do, which Ollie probably couldn't?
Give him the old yeller out the back.
Yeah. Is it time to say, right, this isn't working? Or can we just afford to wait for him to regain his mojo? Because we're running out of games.
Is mojo fucking pace and defensive intelligence?
No.
Well, no then.
All right. When I say his mojo, I mean, let's not rewrite his chair. He had a good spell for United for 2 seasons.
I think United started. I said this at the time. When we got smacked up by Spurs 6-1 at home, yeah. I was like, he got beat a lot because we were playing a higher line.
Yeah.
And I think it's as simple as that. And I think him and Wan-Bissaka were signed. Like, you got to remember, right? He was signed after playing for Claude Puel's Leicester.
Okay.
And in a back three for England.
Yeah.
So in a back three for England, you're deeper. You're a lot deeper. And there's also fucking three of you.
Right.
That Leicester team was a counter-attacking side in a massive way. This is pre-Brendan Rodgers, pre-them getting up to the halfway line and all that kind of shit. We signed a screwdriver to do a hammer's job.
Right.
Or a hammer to do a screwdriver's job.
We'll leave her off.
The player that we now need is another Varane or similar.
Okay.
Someone who's got the ability to be able to defend high and be able to get their ass back. When you single out Maguire's 1v1 defending, as we saw, just getting absolutely twisted to pieces. No look defending that he was doing at weekend.
No,
just getting literally spun.
Yeah.
And I mean, he wasn't at fault for the goal. And I've seen a lot of nonsense. I think someone, either in commentary or on YouTube, has said something. Marcus is playing shit at the moment. Let's have it no two ways about it.
Right.
Blaming Marcus for that goal is mental.
Yeah.
Here's what happened, right?
Go on then.
They play 4-4-2.
Right.
4-4-2 against the 4-3-3 defense.
Yeah.
You need to have the plus one somewhere. In my opinion, McTominay should be the one that drops into that to make it 5-4.
Yeah. Right?
If some of their players then push forward, your 2-8s need to come back, then your wingers, then your striker, in that kind of order. But we don't play a low block, right? So you're not going to have all of your players in your half anyway. People singling out Marcus or even Sancho or Ronaldo when the ball's in our third are looking at the wrong thing or have been taught the wrong thing.
Yeah.
You shouldn't allow 4v4 at the back.
Right.
And it starts with the midfield coming in first. Or you cheat and you get on the inside and you maybe leave one of their wingers on the far side and you stack in over to the one side where the ball is because you're asking them to switch and then you can all shuffle, theoretically. Varane steps out. Is it a mistake? In hindsight, yes. But a defender has to be able to step up and miss, right? Stopper and a cover. The stopper steps up. The cover's meant to slide in nicely. For United, that used to be Rio and Vidic. Rio would go and fucking Mullier. Vidic would go and Mullier.
Yeah,
Rio would hit halfway between where both of you should be and cover into the space if he needed to collect the ball that's come through.
Pretty good at that one as well.
They were not bad, were
they? Yeah, they were all right.
They also had a good goalkeeper, which might have been talking them through it. Now, Rio says like Vidic, Van der Sar used to just calmly commentate you through the game.
Right.
Just real simple. Go left 2 yards, one right.
Yeah.
He's coming. Watch your back. He's on your shoulder. He's going round. Really calm. And you can imagine that. Schmeichel probably just has been fucking...
Scream blue murder and threaten you.
And Van der Sar just give you the info.
Yeah.
And Rio said he don't think he would have liked it with Schmeichel, but he liked what he got with him. And he also had, you know, Vidic knew if someone came through 1v1, I'm going to muller him and Rio will drop him behind me. Rio also told the fullbacks, the right fullback especially, you fucking steam in.
Yeah.
Because I will always cover that gap behind you.
Right.
And Rio was very good at that. I think in the current situation that we've got, Maguire's your stopper and Varane is your cover.
Right, okay, makes sense.
But sometimes it don't work like that and the other guy has to stop and the other guy has to cover. What happens is Varane pinches in and gets done. And again, there's no blame attached to him for that. It's not great in hindsight, but you have to be able to step up and make the challenge sometimes. Yeah. Maguire steps up at the same time. Now, whether he was trying to play an offside line, no one told Luke Shaw because he didn't fucking move.
Second week running.
And again, I don't want to put the blame onto Luke Shaw for that because I don't think in the circumstances he should have stepped up in the same. I think Maguire should have stepped backwards, but Maguire steps forward.
Right.
Maguire steps forward and takes himself out of the game. If Maguire steps backwards at the point where Varane steps up, if he steps backwards and towards the ball,
yeah,
he probably gets it. Or you know, he's at least in a position to get it.
Yeah.
But this is my fundamental issue with Maguire is there is no desire to make challenges from him. You saw when he run across the back of, I can't remember who it was, that went into the box now.
Not Brozier, was it?
Could have been.
Yeah.
When he just missed.
Yeah, I can't remember, to be honest.
And I think they were looking at, is this a penalty? Was it a foul?
Oh, right, yeah. Sorry, go on.
And you think, someone brought up on Twitter that clip of Koulibaly. Miles off, steams in, gets a toe on the ball, stands up, plays a 1-2 with someone, and you go, that's defending. Yeah, yeah. Against Burnley the other night, Rodriguez actually takes a touch towards Maguire.
Yeah.
Maguire afterwards comes out and goes, you know, last man, this, that, and the other. Fuck that noise.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the quote from Vidic?
Go on.
A broken nose will heal, but my pride will never heal from conceding a goal that I didn't put a challenge in for.
Yeah. And he should have just gone for it. I mean, it is a collective sort of shower of shambles at the minute in certain aspects. Because you've named three people that have played a part in that goal. Probably four. If you're going to maybe point a little bit of a finger at Scott McTominay and say, where was he in there? Because you mentioned him as well. I was getting a little bit annoyed with Scott McTominay at the weekend as well. I thought he didn't show for the ball enough for me. He was hiding behind opposition players. A lot of people
that's what
said that.
Number six has got to do, man. Hasn't
he? He's got to show.
You
man.
Want him just going lateral, trying to find it annoying.
Yeah, like and he wasn't doing that, and it frustrated me. I was getting frustrated and frustrated. So going back to my original thing, and I will get into the super chats because I've had quite a few in comments and stuff. Does Ralph then go right, Lindelof and Varane?
I don't see any reason not to right now
because we're running out of games here. We are.
Does he go? oh, what about the damage to Harry Maguire's confidence? Fuck that.
Well, that'll be his next club's problem, because probably, the way the things are going.
That Burnley game, abhorrent, that interview.
Yeah, I mean, he's not, I mean, there's a lot of things to criticise him at the minute.
Three times he came out and said, those forwards need to score more goals, those forwards need to score more goals, those forwards need to... But Liverpool just had an almost identical time to us at Burnley and came away 1-0.
Yeah. I mean, we're not scoring enough goals, but we're not getting any clean sheets either. And that's the problem. And let's face facts, all great clubs, including the historical greatest Manchester United teams, were able to grind out the 1-0s. You get those 1-0s. That's been bread and butter for every great team. You don't just go and blow teams away constantly.
We've had the opportunity to get 1-0s these last few weeks.
I mean, let's say facts. We're not playing, you know, a sort of 1992 AC Milan or something here. We're playing Burnley, who were rooted to the bottom of the table. We're playing Southampton, who on their day are very good and have beaten teams on their day, but they're still in the bottom half or mid-table for a reason.
Yep.
So, you know what I mean? We're playing Middlesbrough. And okay, you can go the handball or whatever, but we're still conceding goals.
Well, we had the opportunities, and we should have been out of sight before that.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to end some of the chat, and then we'll go into something else. Peter Kelly says, who's been a member of the Academy for 20 months, I was born in 98. First United player I knew of was Bex. That had me being able to name United players from football cards before I could read. Raised right. Yep, agree with all that. That's the way you should be raised as well. I've got a few more as well. Jamie Burton says, concerns over attitudes of players letting us down. Bruno tried to hit Ward-Prowse last game. Lucky not to be sent off. They need to stay calm. Did you see that little swipe he took at him? I didn't notice it at the time, but Bruno was just being Bruno. He's fuming. I think Ward-Prowse was sort of having a bit of a grapple with him. I don't know. I've only seen it from like someone's phone or something almost. It's sort of long distance, and he goes like that, and it's like a swipe. I don't know if he's trying to slap him or throwing his arm down or whatever, but he's for me, it's done.
His granddad liked to slap people.
Yeah, exactly. Don't worry about it. Zachary Purvis, nice. The Super Bowl was proved to other rich people bleeding the club in Europe dry can win you a title. First the Glazers, now Kroenke. How far off is Mengi from first team? Him and Varane could be solid. Easy going. You're the Ted and Mengi
expert. Still got like experience related mistakes in him.
Yeah.
Like a little bit of rashness about him at times.
Yeah.
When it comes to physicality, pace, defensive reading of the game, oh, he's top tier. You got to get those what's he's doing now? That's why he's on loan.
Yeah.
Championship, rough,
yeah.
End to end. So you got to focus, which is, I think, is a great breeding ground for players is a championship.
There's no hiding places there.
Oh my God.
You're not hiding in the championship, getting away with it.
Even if you're the dominant team, you're still getting mullet.
Oh, absolutely. It's great. One thing we'll ask you about Mengi is he's.
Clean in the house, by the way.
Well, I was going to say about his attitude. Do you think he's got what it takes to get that sort of.
He's a black guy that grew up in Clayton, Jay.
Nah, it's enough said. Daniel Kirk says, in case you're not from Manchester, the answer is an emphatic yes. He has the right attitude. He has the swagger. He has the confidence. Don't worry about him. It's his teammates you need to be worrying about if they don't perform to the levels that he expects.
I think there's a Roy Keane about him.
Yeah, I've not seen as much as you have.
Fucking lunatic.
But he looks like he's not going to settle.
In a nicest possible way.
He looks like he's not going to settle for you faxing it in.
No, he very publicly, this didn't hit the full radar of every United fan. Harold Mabry put up a photograph of him after a game that we'd lost with a Chelsea player that he was an international teammate with. Yeah. And I think Mengi commented and said, this is why we fucking lose games when you're out here shaking hands with the opposition. Just something just like pure Roy Keane. Vibe. Yes.
Well, that's what we lack. We don't have that, do we? And I'm not one for
standards.
I get times have changed. But we saw it after. There was pictures with United and Southampton players like Romeo after the game and stuff like that. And sometimes you think, oh, really? Is this what we're doing now? Daniel Kirk says, hi, guys. Did you see Rice said his idol is John Terry? Don't want him anymore. Ha ha. Well, Steve, as you know, it's a new year, but it's feeling harder than ever to find and hire the qualified people you need, especially for small businesses. That's where LinkedIn Jobs comes in. They make it easier to find the people you want to talk to faster. And this is my favourite bit. It's for free. It's free. Yeah, we've been hiring here at Stretford Paddock and we've used LinkedIn Jobs and it's been such a useful tool. Even a Luddite like myself who struggles with technology, struggles navigating websites, has found it really simple and easy to use. It's so quick. It's unreal. Basically, you can create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network. And they've got over 30 million people in the UK for the world's largest professional network. So you can focus on the candidates with just the right skills and experience and use screening questions to get your role in front of only the most qualified. So you're not wasting any time sort of having people that won't be interested in the role or won't be suited to the role. It'll get you straight to the people that you need to get to. So you can use the simple tools on LinkedIn Jobs to quickly filter and prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire, which is what we've been doing. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. So LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster, and you can post a job for free, for free. Just visit linkedin.com/devils. Again, that's linkedin.com/devils to post a job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Fergal McClement says, this is completely off topic. We don't have a topic. But football relates to the said about his warm-up for Paddock and how United is so behind. Would love a video breaking it all down. Think it would do good numbers too. He's on the ball there. Go on, what's he on about?
United's warm-up, from what I can see, hasn't changed from Jose.
Right, which is
there seems to be a little bit of muscle activation. You're opening the gate, you're closing the gate, your dynamics. The stuff that you usually see in lines where they do 10, 15 metres and then peel back round to the start.
Yeah.
Your basic sort of muscle activation type stuff.
Yep.
And then that looks like the last part of structured stuff. There seems to be almost like a table football kind of thing where it might go from one person to the next, and then there'll be a shot. But there's no movement. You're passing it to people on flat feet. And then it looks like the sort of shit you do with under nines, where you just have one coach lined up and then he'll pass it to the left or the right as players run onto it and twat it from 25 yard out. And you go, Manchester United.
That's a bit grim. And that's been the same since Jose.
Yeah, and I hated it when Jose did it.
And what we now, 3.5 years since he left or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And we're still doing it. That is a bit disconcerting. Ross Murphy, again, he's been a member of the Academy for 18 months, says, knowing United, we play Burnley and Southampton, look awful. Then we play Man City and Liverpool away from home and look amazing. Should perform every game. I wish I had your confidence, Ross, because I think there's a good chance we could look awful against...
Next month's going to suck, you know.
It is. Have you seen that? It's horrible, isn't it? Atletico, City and Liverpool, isn't it? All in the same, like,
four or five weeks. Well, Spurs in there
as well. I think there's someone. It's them as well. You've got those games like Spurs and Leicester, which could go either way. I mean, you could potentially lose them all. James Samut says, this is what we were talking about earlier. Meanwhile, the ref is outrunning Rashford on our right wing. I wanted to ask you something else about Rashford and Sancho. The whole swapping the wings thing, what do you make of that?
Why?
Because I thought, you know, you said Marcus Rashford he's playing shit. I thought in the first half, I thought he did okay.
Well, I thought the whole team setup was fine in the first half.
Yeah.
And Ralph did.
He got an assist. Wasn't fantastic. I'm not saying that before people start getting involved. But I thought it was a decent performance. Yeah. But there's this swapping thing. And I thought Sancho down left was causing issues. Rashford's got his assist, causing problems down the right. Then we start swapping over. We lose that little bit of momentum. It gets a bit confused and it just stops happening. And we never got it back. And I just think, are you a fan of that? Do you think that swapping wingers helps?
I had Ronaldo Kieran doing it a weekend.
Okay, then, right. that worries me even more. What's good enough for Steven Alton?
Well, there's a reason for
it. What United
what your reason is. What's the reason you're doing
it? My point is, we were looking good. We had a lot of the ball. We were causing them problems. Sancho was on fire down that left-hand side.
Right,
Marcus has got his assist and looks like he's positive in the game. We swap it round and all that ends.
If it's player-led and they've gone, right, let me have a little bit of a go on the left.
Yeah.
Well, no, I don't like that.
Right.
But it depends what the purpose for it is. The purpose I wanted for it is Ronaldo's right-footed, but he plays left wing.
Yeah.
Kieran's left-footed, he plays right wing. Right. So why do you think I switched it?
Ronaldo's right-footed and he plays left wing, so he's cutting in and he's having a dig and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Kieran?
Kieran's plays on the right, he's left-footed.
So you wanted them to swap over so they could cross it in and all that slow.
I wanted to go beyond the fullback, hit the byline and cut it back. That's what I was aiming for.
Right. How did that work out for you?
We scored two set pieces.
You make me sick, you. Shut up. Christopher, I don't even know what set pieces are anyway, so don't count. Christopher Matthews says...
Corner free kick.
I'm going to get to this read in a minute because Alex Bagley's going to come over and chin me in a minute. Christopher Matthews says, how do you feel about Nkunku becoming a target in the summer? Why aren't we talking about Frank Kessie in a CDM? Contract is up with AC.
Someone's going to get some reap bargains in the summer.
Yeah.
For free.
There's some Freemans.
Like Rudiger and Pogba. You could probably
get a bargain, Mbappe. Yeah. Hey? It's on these wages.
You could probably get the basis of a proper Champions League challenging squad for free.
Can you money ball it, Stay? Can you do that?
Yeah, if you've got the wages.
Island of Misfits.
What you need to do, you've got to get... So you need to win like the Latvian Championship or something to get yourself into the Champions League. Like, what's the worst, easiest to buy nation? Because you must be able to buy a Champions League qualifying team for a couple of mil.
Yeah.
What do you reckon? Get us in the comments. Who do you reckon is like, which teams qualify for the Champions League proper? And I love that.
Yeah.
Proper. Not qualifiers, proper.
You're in it. Which teams?
What's the worst ranked nation that qualifies for Champions League proper? And how much is that team to buy?
Scotland don't do it anymore, does it?
No, they got to qualify.
They've got to qualify.
There's a lot of teams after
qualifying.
Yeah,
so you need someone that's in it.
Maybe, Joe, if it's that last qualifying round.
It's not too bad.
If you moneyball it, you might be able to box it off anyway. All right, get me to that final qualifying round.
Yeah.
Is it Juniper League? Is it fucking
get
Swiss?
Involved in the comments. You know what he's on about. Oh, here you go.
And then we'll... you moneyball the fuck out of your team. Free transfers only. Sell them a dream. And do you know what? Give them 1 year deals and say, listen, 1 year, one plus one.
Yeah.
So if it doesn't work out, you can fuck off.
You can go.
But if
now.
It does, we're extending you and we're doing it again.
Yeah.
We're doing a Nottingham Forest.
Right, okay. Match. You're only there if it works out anyway, so you're laughing, aren't you?
I pay them like $1 million a week guaranteed each.
Right.
And you go, right, we have Pogba in the middle, Mbappe up front, Rudiger at the back, there's the spine sorted. What keepers can we get? Probably Dean Henderson at the moment, I reckon.
Yeah, maybe you can. There's a definite. You did a video, didn't you, with Joe about it?
I don't know. Stop sometime.
Right, you did. You did a video about the free transfers that United could get. Have a look at that. It's somewhere on the channel. It's just him and Joe Smith. Anyway, got exciting news from our friends at Manscaped Trademarked. They've just launched their fourth generation performance package.
Are we really saying 4.0 is the just launched? Because I'm sorry, we've been reading that for ages.
Well, the 4.0 is so revolutionary that no matter when it happens, it always feels like it's just launched because it's that cutting edge.
It's like listening to a Stone Roses tune.
It's timeless.
Fresh.
You think like, oh, is this new? No, but it feels like it because it's that good. Anyway, Manscaped are leaders in male grooming. Yeah, and if you like looking after your front bottom, as they call it, join the 4 million men worldwide, which is about as many men as there are worldwide, I think, who trust Manscaped. And you know what you get? You get the weed whacker. You get the cologne. You get the anti-chafing boxers and all that, boxer briefs. You get the little bags so you can pretend that you're playing for Manchester United, coming off the coach, giving everyone a thumbs up, yeah? You get all that good. All you need to do is get... you get free shipping as well and 20% off. All you need to do is use the code DEVILS20, yeah? Use the code DEVILS20. Your balls and your better half will thank you. So make sure you check that out. Is that right?
Jay, you didn't need to do all that. You just need to say, listen.
Go on then. Go on. You do it your way.
It's Valentine's Day.
Right, go on.
You might have missed the boat today. If you order it today, it's not quite like Amazon. It's not coming today.
No.
You're going to have to wait a couple of days.
Yeah.
So you might have missed the boat. However, it is Steak and a Blowjob Day coming up.
Is it?
Next month.
I love steak.
So, get yourself
Devil's
20, 20% off.
Yeah. And there you go. Get yourself out of any miver you might have got yourself in by forgetting Valentine's Day. I didn't forget. I was just giving you something to look forward to.
What's my present for Valentine's Day? I shaved me nuts.
There you go. Someone just listed that Leyton Orient game I was talking about and I've lost it. That was it. Peter Jackson says, 1974-75, Leyton Orient away, Stepney Forsyth, Houston Greenoff, Holton Buchan, Morgan McCarrie, Pearson Daly, 1-2-0, scorers Houston Morgan. Thank you. There you go. Knowledge. That's like you. You're really... like Rain Man with certain things.
Yeah, and with no pattern to it, though.
I know.
No pattern to it whatsoever. You'd be like, do you remember that? No. Remember this? No. And what day your kids were born? Not really. Do you remember Rumbelow's Cup, though, in 1992? Yes, I do.
Do you know what really winds me up about Rumbelow's Cup in 1992? We beat Nottingham Forest 1-0. Brian McClair scored.
Yep.
Have you seen the end of that season?
The fact that I wasn't allowed to go because I spent money on the club call. £88 on my
£88 in 1992 was the equivalent of £3.5 million quid this now.
Yeah. My dad was like, hey, guess what, you little fucker? You're not going to Wembley because I'm selling your ticket. I've just got the phone bill.
Just tell me, don't tell anyone what. Did he give you a good hiding?
No.
No.
Just didn't go to Wembley.
Oh, wow, that's worse than hiding, isn't it?
Joe, it's worse as well because them programmes, about a fiver and all, aren't they, Wembley programmes? It's like a magazine. Yeah, yeah. Gets me a programme. Oh, cheers. Fuck,
that's almost like being there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, do you know what I mean?
A programme I wouldn't have read when I was there, I get to now read while I'm here.
You were quite early then, there, weren't you? Because you're a few years younger than me. I didn't go to Wimbledon 93.
That wasn't my first time.
When was your first time?
I went the year before against Sheffield Wednesday, got the ball. Lee Sharp threw me the ball. And I took it to school and played with it on the playground. Wembley Cup final. Can you imagine, right? In 2022, getting the ball. So
hang on a minute. When, how old were you when you first went to Wembley? To
see, you know? 1991, so I would have been, what, eight? Seven, eight?
You fan channel, like, you're the same, eh? Hey? 8 years old. Is that how long it took you? Pathetic.
To get to my first final.
Yeah. What sort we are?
And we was on Wembley as well, on the seats with no back. Just like a fucking bike seat.
My first Wembley seats were below pitch level.
Yeah, I was about row four. That's why I got a ball. Right. I'm going to get a ball and I'm in row ZZ4, am I? No, I got a ball. Basically, he went, and this is, it must have been pre-Taylor report, by the thinking about it.
Standing, yeah. Taylor, standing ended in 94.
Probably about an 8 to 10 foot fence between us and the pitch. Yeah. Because I remember him having to go, he threw the ball over and it was like, mid-20s bloke caught it because it went like straight up and over. It was that fucking high defence.
Yeah.
And his bloke caught it and he went, nah, give it to kid. And pointed at me. Yeah. I wasn't even paying attention. And then his ball goes, the bloke goes, yeah.
No way I'd have done that. Hey, what?
Fight me.
I'd have been right off.
Hey. Yeah, I took it in school. And then
just ruined it. Took it like it was just a normal football you bought from the shop.
Yeah. It was a losing cup final ball.
To be fair, that's a good point. Do you know what I mean? They don't really count the losing cup finals. But yeah, that 1992 Rumblers Cup final, if you look at our run at the end of that season, it doesn't make any sense. It's like six games in like three days.
4 days, yeah.
Yeah. And like one of those games.
I think we were day on, day off.
Yeah, it was. And one of those games was against Forest in the league and we lost it. Just like we drew with Leeds in the league and beat them in the cup.
Did we not win for four games to lose the league, basically, didn't we?
Yeah.
Two draws, two losses.
It was horrible. It's just, if that was now, if that happens.
I remember, we were sat in North Stand.
I'm going to get this up, go on.
We used to be in North Stand a lot in 1992.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, during you're like 7 and 8.
Yeah.
I didn't really have a concept of what the league was.
No, I always think, for me, maybe it's because I'm a bit thick, but the Premier League season when I was 12 was when I fully grasped everything about it, what was going on. 92.
Right.
So, because I remember when we lost the lead to Leeds, I was still a bit like, well, why has this game been postponed? Why is that game happening? What's this? This is a cup, this is not the league. I was
why
still
are you crying
a bit,
in the car again?
Yeah, why has my dad like, not spoke to anyone for a
week? Yeah, my dad fuming. I think it was either the Forest or the Leeds game at home, which is that the season?
Right, this is the season here now, right? So I'm going to run for this is just stupid.
It's the Forest game.
Yeah, that's what I mean. We beat him in the cup and a lot. Look at this, right? We had a game on the 18th of April. No, let's actually. The 16th of April, the 18th of April, the 20th of April, the 22nd of April, and the 26th of April. That's when we had football matches as Manchester United.
We just didn't win.
Yeah, and we lost three on the bounce. We lost to Forest, lost to West Ham, lost to the Scousers. We lost to Forest in the league and then beat them in a League Cup final, which is annoying.
How many points did we lose in the league, man?
Four.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just horrible, isn't it? Have you seen, do you know what I watched the other week? You should watch it, because I think, because you're a bit like, you can stomach certain things because you know where it leads to. Watch the Leeds documentary from that season. They've done one where they interview like Howard Wilkinson and Vinnie Jones. I don't like Vinnie Jones and he wasn't even there, but they interview all like the Leeds players and it's hilarious because they like almost ignore Eric. Like Eric Cantona arrived. And anyway.
I don't know what happens after that.
Yeah, literally it ends with them being crowned and they don't discuss the fact that United won a title the next year or that they got bombed out of Europe or that they didn't win an away game for the next 18 months. It don't bother about that. It just ends like on a high. Like, oh yeah, he restored pride to Leeds. I just think, yeah, all right.
Yeah, I think that Forest game, because I remember, I think the board going up for injury time and my dad going, we fucked it. And it was like, come on, we're fucking going, being proper mad as well. And I remember being like, smell me, man. Like,
do you remember that was a game where Neil Webb took half an hour walk off the pitch when he got subbed.
Don't remember that.
Yeah, I don't remember. I remember everyone says that.
Here's what I can remember, right?
Because he was obviously ex-Forest and he got subbed and he took like, and we were chasing the game.
Bottom of North Stand was all fairly new seats, I think. Has it just had seats in there, bottom of North Stand?
What, now?
Not
recently. Since 1992. Yeah. Knowing Manchester United.
It's only been refreshed once.
Yeah, it probably has.
I can remember the concrete being a bit new and a bit jagged. Right. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
And I remember the Norweb advertising banner. Yeah. And I remember standing and looking up at the Norweb banner that was behind the back row of North Lower.
Right.
While my dad was just fucking hurling abuse at the pitch.
Yeah.
And I was like, right, come on, we're fucking going.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's the matter with you, man? Like, why are you so mad?
That is horrible. To lose the league like that, to just get dumped.
I didn't understand it.
Yeah, no, I'm the same. I was a little bit older than you, but I just remember like fuming. And also, 92, 93 is when I started going without my dad. I started to go with just my mates because it's £4 in the standing bit.
See, that it's and not then, there no more, that culture.
No. And like, we'd go out to Old Trafford. This is before I started selling United We Stand. I started selling United We Stand during that season. But beginning of the season, I wasn't. We'd just go down 3 hours before kickoff, no ticket, no money.
And get?
Just getting. By hook or by crook, just, you know. I remember my mate went to, there was an Argos nearby and he got a load of Argos catalogues and sold them out on Matt Busby Way for like £1. Not Argos, like magazines. Because people just used to walk up, didn't they? Just buy whatever was like. He sold like 8 of them or whatever. And like, that was enough for 2 tickets. It was mental, like, but I used to love all that. And you go in and stand with your mates. And they brought back rail seating and all that, but it's not the same as it's all ticketed and you've got to.
I think there's still ways to go with it. And I think it can be done.
I think they need to look at that as well, because them Muppets down the road are pulling out all the stops. They're literally giving away tickets to kids to get them through the gates. And it's working, because kids will go. If you're watching a club winning lots of things and the tickets are free.
Oh, man, they're as desperate as they are.
Yeah, they are. And they'll do it. And if United are going like, well,
you know. There's a bit of an arrogance to United in this, and it's wrong, because you are, if you stay arrogant for so long, the crowd will die.
Yeah.
Like, I saw a study from ages ago. It might have been in United We Stand, actually. It was probably something Andy did. And it was from 1993 to, I think it was it 20 years post start of Premier League?
So what's that?
That would have been 10 years ago. It might have been 25 years post the Premier League.
Right.
In the 25 years from the start of Premier League to 25 years after, the average age of a season ticket holder had gone up 22 years. It's the same fucking people.
Yeah. That's
there's
not
no
good.
New.
That's not good.
There's no, it needs to have stayed like a consistent sort of age. It'd basically gone from like 23 to 44 in 25 years.
So it's the same group of people. So it's people like us who just got older rather than new youngsters coming through. No. You can't take it for granted, can you?
No.
You've always United have always. This is an argument. I was having this discussion, I think, with Baggers before about, do you feel like United are failure proof? You know, like certain organisations can be to a certain degree. And you know, let me qualify what I'm on about. Like,
I know what you mean.
Like the New York Yankees, for example, they don't win the World Series for 30 years.
We're not getting relegated, are they?
No, and plus people still buy the merch. People still think, oh, New York Yankees, they're great. You know, people in Manchester wear that sort of merchandise. They've never seen a baseball game. Is there an element of that with United? We're that big that we can get away with not winning for a while and still be a global giant? Or because of the landscape changing, because the Scousers have got their act together, because City have got unlimited funds, do we need some success soon?
I think Liverpool showing you that you can go 30 years and not do fuck all suggests that you will never be that far away from standalone success that you didn't retain, right?
Yeah.
I think you can probably fluke the occasional trophy with a little bit of smart investment that they've had lately and you know, a good manager who's been backed, who had a plan and has had
a good doctor as well.
The
patient, all the asthmatics.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, a good asthma program.
Yeah.
And I think if you're close enough, top 10, so not Arsenal.
No, don't sell it.
You can probably still do that. I think Villa proved, Nottingham Forest proved, even though they weren't world star sort of sides, and Leeds proved to us, Leeds went from the fucking semi-final of the Champions League to the semi-final of the fucking auto windscreens.
Yeah.
Like, I think because English football is so competitive, and you didn't mention Newcastle thrown into the mix.
That's a good point. I always forget. But
you know, you've basically got the oil league. It's going to be Chelsea, Newcastle, City, and then whoever else can be asked putting, you know, trying to win that fourth spot.
Yeah,
that might be the new battle.
It looks like it. It's only a matter of time before Newcastle are in that mix. Probably it's going to take at least.
It'll be less than 10 years.
Yeah, I agree. I think it will happen. It's inevitable.
Who wins the title next? Newcastle or United?
If the smart money be on Newcastle.
It would.
Because that's where all the money's going to go, innit? And, you know, they've got the unlimited resources and let's face it, FFP is just not a thing anymore, is it? That's just not even...
City challenging it killed it.
Yeah. It's not... It's like, hang on a minute. Well, they got away with it, so why can't we? That's all that's going to happen. And they're not going to do it overnight because they've got a long way to go. But I laughed when City got all that money. I laughed at them. City lending tears. I wasn't... No, trust me. It always ends in tears, that lot. It'll end in tears.
He did with Frank, didn't it?
Yeah.
Taskin Sinoatra.
Yeah.
He was unlimited kind of cash because he was a fucking crook.
Yeah, he was like leading the money, like travelling around the world in his jets. He couldn't land anywhere because he was wanted. Right, I've got a few super chats to get through before we wrap up. Nanye West says, what happened to all the talk about us and Tchouaméni? How suitable for us do you think he'd be? Steve, you can answer that one.
With who?
Tchouaméni. I pronounced that wrong. You know what I mean?
Well, he's another good central midfielder, defensive midfielder. They're out there. There's some good ones out there, but we have to get a manager first.
Don't talk rubbish. Alex Bailey in the comments says, the arrogance of United will cause us to be left behind in today's game. So shout. Peter Kelly says, Hill 16 behind the Golden Croke Park is the best. All standing, all you need is a ticket for what stand and you can go wherever you want. That's that's sort of the argument we're making. Abhinav Verma says, issue is making, Rashford is making low percentage decisions. It's getting a lot of stick at the minute, Marcus Rashford, and some of it's justifiable, some of his performances haven't been great, and some of it's just, he's getting blamed for all sorts. And it's sad to see, because I do love Marcus Rashford. 22 says, Alison, did you watch Salford? Cass Salford?
No, I haven't seen any rugby league for a minute.
Oh, have you not?
Too busy, man.
Busy, it's all happening, isn't it? I think that's it.
Did see a hell of a try from Wigan at the weekend.
Oh, Ed T says, Neil Webb didn't play. He was an unusual sub. I thought, what game am I thinking of? I was thinking of that was the one, the Forest game. No, I'm in the league. I'm sure it was Forest in the league where Neil Webb trudged off with like 10 minutes to go or whatever, and it took his time and everyone was going berserk.
What would a fan channel have said? Losing those three games and to not win the league like that.
What do you right? Here's one for you. Remember when Busby finished second for four out of five seasons?
No, because it was like my dad was six.
What sort of an excuse is that? Sorry. You fan channel a lot, you're all the same. But what do you reckon fans would have said then? Do you think they'd have gone...
Again, a different time.
Not now. I'm not then. I mean, fans would have just, Stockett got relegated and kept his job.
Yeah, but I think such a different time then. And here's another thing that people just don't take into account.
Yeah.
United's success over the 60s was still quite unprecedented, even though, did we even retain one?
We won it in 64 to 65 and 66 to 67. So, no, we did in the 50s with the Busby Babes. But I don't think in the 60s we did.
So, do you know what I mean? Matt Busby, potentially one of the greatest of all time. Why wasn't he out here retaining titles like a motherfucker? Because at the time, when you had the maximum wage, transfers did not happen. You had to piss with a cock you've got or grow it a little bit with a Swedish penis pump, right? You had no other options. Hey, you're fucking absolutely rassing it up for Fulham. Do you want to come for United? Well, footballers' wages... probably mean that I can't afford to move house. And are you going to pay me anymore? Well, no, I'm not legally allowed to pay you anymore. So how about you move your life, your family and all your kids for the same money? How about go fuck yourself?
Yeah. Tom Finney was a plumber. Played for England. And after the game, he played for Preston.
Unplug your shit up.
Yeah. What's that? What's that about? And that's what he did.
So what happens there is it gets a bit like American football where it's ultra competitive and it's always going to be a different team in because no one's able to start amassing the best players and start dominating a league. So, 20th place has got the same wage budget as first place. It's a fucking killer.
United went from, and forgive me if I'm getting this slightly wrong, in 63 we won the FA Cup, we finished 19th. In 64, we finished second. And then in 65 we won it. I mean, that's my... let's not... Before anyone gets in comments, yes, a certain George Best made his debut, I think, in 64, which may have helped us get from 9th to 2nd.
5 years post losing three quarters.
Exactly. It was Busby knew what he was doing, funnily enough. That's why he's arguably the greatest manager of all time. He was rebuilding slowly, and those players progressively got better and better. And then in 64, it kicked on. 63.
My granddad had a great point about... what we'd done for the 5 years up to Munich was won the FA Youth Cup every single year. And at the same time we were doing that, we were also pushing for losing finalists and finalists in the FA Cup and also winning the league.
Robbed twice, by the way.
So the first team was smashing it. The reserve team, the youth team, was smashing it as well. Yeah. Both of them absolutely smashing it. Munich happens. And it took me a minute because of the way my granddad sort of described it. We played players too early.
Right.
Like, if Munich doesn't happen, these six don't get touched by the first team for another 18 months.
Yeah.
They're still coming to the boil. They're still growing. They're still maturing. They're still learning. Munich happens. You've got to go play, lads, because there's literally no other options.
Yeah.
They get the pressure too early. They get found out because they're too young. They've not had the opportunity to grow and to mature, and they get cast aside. And he said he thinks if Munich haven't have happened, for starters, he's adamant, like, you've never even heard of Pelé because England just fucking obliterated that World Cup.
Right.
There's like four starters for England that lost out on that day,
yeah,
including potentially the best player in the world, yeah, Duncan Edwards.
That's the statue outside Wembley. It'd be him now.
Not me.
He'd be the captain. He'd be the one that led us to that.
The players that were coming up, United could have dominated England in European football just exactly the same way Real Madrid did.
It's so sad, isn't it? It's so sad for a multitude of reasons, but I hear you on that one enough. I always feel when I hear players like your granddad to actually watch that team and see that happen, it must just be... I always have, obviously, the utmost respect to the families and the players and all that, but also the fans that kept going and seeing... It must have been heartbreaking.
There's some of the stories of that Sheffield Wednesday game.
That's a 3-0, isn't it? With the blank programme.
Oh, I mean, how iconic is that? But he said, and of course it is, the strangest atmosphere a football game must have ever been.
I've heard the stories like people just crying throughout the game.
Yeah, it goes like you would score, it'd go quiet,
yeah,
everyone would start crying,
yeah,
everyone would sort themselves out a little bit, you'd get behind the team, we'd score, you'd have a bit of a think and fucking have a bit of a cry. And he goes, just like that for like 3 hours. He goes, it was like a funeral, it was like a party, it was like a bit of a defiance, and then, yeah, it was a fucking breakdown in tears. He goes, it was the straight, he goes, never seen anything like it. He goes, I don't know what the attendant said. He goes, it was fucking four times that.
Really?
He goes, it was just, he goes, there wasn't room. He goes, people were just pissing on you. He goes, it, yeah, was just, there was nowhere to go.
Honestly, it's so tragic, but it's also inspiring when you hear people like your granddad and all those fans that kept it going. Jimmy Murphy was finally getting that statue, which he should have had in 1958, at the ground as well, kept it going when people were like, we ain't going to be able to put a team out. And he's like, well, we are. Do you know what I mean? And there's also that sort of spirit as well, isn't there, that 13 years after the end of the Second World War, so there's still that mentality a little bit in there of, you crack on. Do you know what I mean? Like, what do you mean? Like we mean you went to watch the Busby one, didn't we, where it was like, Jimmy Murphy's like to Bill Foulkes and Harry Gregg, you physically fit your plane. We've got a game. And like, we've just been carrying people out of the Munich air crash. I've just lost all my teammates. Don't worry about that. Get your kit on.
You're here, aren't you?
Yeah. It's like, you can't imagine that now. And I don't expect people should have. They went through that tragedy. But that was the mentality, wasn't it? It was just, you know, you get on with it.
What level of PTSD must Bobby Charlton have had? Every time you get on a plane. And they had success in Europe again. Like, you've seen the images from the semi-final in Madrid in 68. Bill Foulkes has just scored. Bill Foulkes hasn't crossed the halfway line in 14 years. He's just scored in the Bernabeu to put United through to the European Cup final, to finally complete this journey that him and Busby and Bobby Charlton have been. I think it was just those three, wasn't it?
Nah,
that was survivors from the first one. A 10-year crusade. Not like now where you're getting there for coming fourth. No. You need to climb back to the pinnacle of English football by winning the league with a decimated team and no fucking money.
Yeah.
Right? You need to go and find George Best. You need to bring in fucking Dennis Law. You need to convince Bobby Charlton to actually play football again.
Which is no mean feat.
You need to assemble another team that goes on and wins the English top flight. And then you have to go and take on the likes of Benfica and Real Madrid to almost lay the ghosts of, was this a shit idea in the first place?
Yeah.
Because I can't imagine, like, I know Matt Busby did it for the future of football and what a visionary he was by saying, European football is going to be massive. I want a part of that. But for him to come out and be the driving force in that and the way the FA sort of dismissed this European folly, like... Yeah. For him to be so single-mindedly, we're doing this against FA's permission.
Chelsea the season before didn't do it, did they?
Yeah, Chelsea was invited and they was like, FA oh, can we join that? And he said, no.
This is all right.
So United were like, well, we're doing it.
Yeah.
So you got to think, like, he probably carries the weight of that a little bit, thinking, fucking hell, I push for this.
Yeah.
So for him, that personal journey for him, he should have just called it a day there and then, shouldn't he?
Yeah, he should have, really. And it's mad because I saw like an interview with Bobby Charlton. He was saying, at the final whistle, everyone's running to Busby and hugging him. And he said, and I was concerned because Matt was still, he's an old man. I was concerned that there would be Bobby Charlton's being a bit too boisterous with him. Like, he's still got that finger, like, yeah, just calm down a bit. Do you know what I mean? Which is mad to have that. But it wasn't.
Bobby Charlton's own mentality of...
Do you know what I mean?
You can see the faces. You can see these emotions in them. In the semi-final, more so than the final. The final's quite happy.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. But the semi-final is... Because obviously it was a semi-final stage where they were killed.
Yeah.
So the semi-final is just a... There's some fucking emotions on the faces there.
It
like,
is mad.
You couldn't.
You can never sort of study, watch, learn, hear about it enough as a United fan. Even as a football fan, but especially as a United fan, it's just so, you know, you've done quite a few bits on it, haven't you, with your granddad and that, and it's always worth watching. And,
oh, it's an absolute fucking treat.
Yeah, it is.
Like, Rio did something with BT, with my granddad, and he was talking to him about Duncan Edwards, and he was like, look, I hear Duncan Edwards all the time. He goes, I don't really know anyone who's seen him play, though. And he goes, how would he play? And granddad goes, like you.
Really? Really? That's a fucking compliment, eh?
Like big, strong, calm, can hit a ball, just...
This is the thing, because that footage you've got isn't a lot. There's so many, like, barely any of his games.
One goal of him scoring for England, and yeah. Just fucking mullering through everyone and just wellying it. Big rugby player, that.
But you can go off the fact that Bobby Charlton, that Jimmy Murphy, that Matt Busby, that everyone that saw Duncan Edwards, they all say the same thing.
Well, my granddad's seen everyone from George Best to Ronaldo to Rooney to Brian Robson, and he just laughs and goes, no fucking Duncan Edwards. And you just think, no, there's a reason, like, there's a phenomenal book from James Layton called The Greatest.
Yeah.
And it's not called The Pretty Good, is it? It's called The Greatest. Yeah. And he says, when people die young, there's a bit of a eulogizing of them and people...
Yeah.
And you see this all the time, don't you? You see little toe rags get knifed up in the street and go, he was a lovely boy. He was a fucking toe rag. That's right. So he says sometimes there's a bit of rose tinting.
Yeah.
And he wanted to go back and find... What were contemporaneous reports of Duncan Edwards?
Yeah.
So you go, like, the newspaper that went out the day that he played this game, what does it say about him?
That's good.
Because they don't know that he's...
No, obviously, that's, like you say, it's contemporaneous. It's at the time.
And he goes, they're saying this kid's the greatest player in the fucking world.
Yeah.
He's the greatest player in the world. He came second as a defender at 19 in the Ballon d'Or. You tell me one other defender that comes fucking close to that.
They don't do that, do they? That don't happen. It's just ridiculous. It is ridiculous. And I think you can't... overstate enough.
And not only that, he got voted second when Tommy Taylor's scoring a fucking goal a game at the other end.
Do you know what I mean? Tommy Taylor's like, what? I literally can't do more than what I'm doing. Do you know what I mean? And you're giving it this kid for
this fucking farmer at the back.
Yeah,
here,
Dudley lads getting all the credit. What's going on? I've had enough. I'm going home. Nate Bennett says, likelihood that Ralph actually stays involved at Man United beyond this season.
100%,
Steven.
I think.
Not as manager, I take it.
No, I think you're
not. Right, we're going to wrap up there because it's an hour in. I think I've got all the super chats. Forgive me if I missed any comments. I've tried to get through as many as I can. Thanks for all your support as always. Hit that like button, hit that share button, hit that subscribe button as well. And if you're not, do make sure you're checking out the membership section as well. And it's 5 o'clock, so that means your vibe with five.
I think it's just gone live.
Is there so we can hear about what was the thing you were talking about before?
Kind of ripping Walcott. Said he knew he wasn't going to do shit once he complained at being shouted at.
Could I still laugh a bit of that, can't
he? Was saying, like, he's got to be able to shout at people. Rio says his and Rooney's relationship in training and in games was just screaming at each other, but no one ever took it personally because they knew it was only there to make you better.
Right, so there you go. Make sure you're going to check out that as well. We have got some mugs there. We've got some mugs available there. You can see the graphic. Go and check them out on the merchandise store. That's paddockmerch.com. And a big thanks to our sponsors, Manscaped, as well. Don't forget to check that out. You get 20% off and free shipping with Manscaped using the code DEVILS20. I've been Jay Motte. That's been Stephen Alson. This has been the Paddock Podcast. Thanks for watching.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
For the past 30 years, Care Heating and Cooling put you first. You are the reason they are open 7 days a week. You are why they make it easy to schedule service at careheatingandcooling.com. Concern for your safety is why they check every gas furnace for carbon monoxide. It's because of you that their technicians are paid to fix your furnace and air conditioner, not sell you a new one. And if you do need a new furnace, their team will make sure you get exactly what you need at a cost that fits your budget. Care Heating and Cooling is committed to doing business right. Call them at 1-800-COOLING when you need a company you can trust.